8th, right off Burnside.
And you can volunteer your time and learn radio in return.
Like, just like we did. Give us a call during the match pledge, 877-500-5266. Now back to the news.
An international human rights case that's been winding through U.S. courts for nearly a decade has just made a significant step forward. Colombian plaintiffs argue that Chiquita Banana Company knowingly aided and abetted members of the country's AUC paramilitary organization. The armed group is designated as a terrorist organization by the U.S. government. Its death squads committed some of the most notorious massacres in recent Colombian history. Plaintiffs in the case, in the class action suit, say the fruit company paid at least $1.6 million to the paramilitaries and allowed them to ship drugs and weapons on Chiquita-owned boats through company-operated ports. The corporation petitioned to have the class action lawsuit moved to Colombia, a motion which federal judge in Florida denied yesterday. For more details on this, FSRN's Shannon Young spoke with Marisa Vossling, staff attorney with Earth Rights International, one of the organizations representing the plaintiffs in this case.
First, who are the plaintiffs in this case?
There are thousands of plaintiffs in this case between the complaints, the various complaints that were filed around 2007 and 2008 in a number of courts across the United States. Many of those plaintiffs have opted to keep their identities confidential because of the grave risks to their security were they to be identified publicly with this case.
Now, separate out allegations from facts already proven in court. What's disputed and what's already established in this case?
At this point, we are now entering into the factual phase of the case, or we will be entering into discovery, which is when the facts will be discovered and presented and disputed. But at this point, we have made it over a number of initial motions that would weed out cases where the court could say that the claims were frivolous, that the facts were not sufficient within the allegations and the complaint. But the big final step to moving to the discovery stage was this argument that Chiquita presented that the case should be moved to Colombia and be heard in Colombia rather than in the forum of the plaintiff's choice, which is the United States.
And what's so significant about the decision to keep this lawsuit in the United States?
I think a number of things are significant about this decision. First of all, we have seen companies like Chiquita in the past argue that a human rights case in particular should be litigated back in the country where the facts that they say the facts took place, or at least the human rights violations took place. But often it is the case that those companies no longer have a significant presence or even any assets in those countries. They've often left, as Chiquita did, and they have no assets available there to satisfy a judgment. So when that happens, they try to get the case dismissed back to another country where they can then initiate another round of defenses before the court there. And then even if a judgment were to result against the company in the court in the other country, the plaintiffs would still have to come back to a forum where the company actually had assets to satisfy the judgment. And it kind of like the company gets two bites at the apple when the plaintiffs have often just chosen that they want to go to the place where the company has its headquarters and its assets, and they want to be heard there, and they want to hold the company accountable in their home court. And that's what the plaintiffs have done here. So it was important that the court recognized that Chiquita couldn't avoid responsibility by dragging out this case in the United States. And then after that, saying we need to go to Colombia, going to Colombia, forcing the plaintiffs to litigate in Colombia, although it's not their forum of choice and it's not a place where they can safely litigate these claims, and then make the plaintiffs go back to the United States to satisfy the judgment. So I think that that's significant.
And now that it's settled that the class action suit will remain in the U.S., what comes next in this case?
We move into discovery, which is significant. I mean, we've been waiting for discovery for years. We've undertaken some preliminary discovery under some extraordinary conditions because a number of the paramilitary leaders who are the most knowledgeable about the relationship between Chiquita and the paramilitary group, the AUC, have been in prison both in the United States and in Colombia, and those who are in jail and in prison in Colombia are a number of them are due to be released soon because they will have satisfied their sentences under the justice and peace process in Colombia. So we had some urgency in taking the deposition of some of those paramilitaries before they were released in Colombia. So some initial discovery was approved by the court in Florida, but we haven't gone into full discovery. And so our hope is that that will begin immediately.
Marissa Valsing is a staff attorney with Earth Rights International, one of the organizations representing the Colombian plaintiffs. For FSRN, I'm Shannon Young.
The tiny neighboring countries of Rwanda and Burundi in Central Africa are trading accusations over the attempted assassination of a Burundian official. Burundi's government spokesman, Willy Nyamitwe, was attacked outside his home Monday night. One of his bodyguards was shot dead, but Nyamitwe only suffered a bullet grazing his arm. A colonel and two corporals in the Burundian army were arrested, but the government claims the orders came from Rwanda. Relations between the two countries have deteriorated drastically over the past year and a half. Rwanda has not commented but denied a similar allegation that it was behind the murder of a Burundian politician in July. Last year, the election of Pierre Nkurunziza to a third term as Burundi's president sparked civil unrest. The government backlash, which included paramilitary activity and overtones of ethnic conflict, led to around 500 deaths and at least 270,000 people fleeing the country, most of them to Rwanda. Rwanda also denies harboring army officers who plotted a failed coup against Nkurunziza last year. According to the Rwanda-based KT press agency, government officials were there to see the accusations as attempts to, quote, drag Rwanda into Burundi's unrest.
Other news from the African continent. Voters go to the polls in the West African nation of the Gambia today. No one can say who they're voting for because the ruling regime has cut all internet access and almost all phone service just hours before the polls opened. The country's current president, Yahya Jammeh, seized power in a 1994 coup d'etat and has held it for the last 22 years by brutalizing his opponents and controlling the media. A recent Human Rights Watch report accused Jammeh of jailing and torturing members of the opposition and using state resources to skew the election in his favor. The regime has refused to respond to these accusations. Jammeh says the shutdown of internet and phone service in this election was done to prevent civil unrest in the country, although the opposition says it was done to prevent them from getting out the vote. International observers, including the African Union, worry that Jammeh will not allow voters to oust him. He is certain that he will win. He cites divine intervention, and he predicts, quote, the biggest landslide in the history of the country. He refused to condone even peaceful protests, should he be reelected, calling them the back door by which African governments are destabilized. He faces Adama Barrow, a former London security guard, who is supported by an 8-party opposition bloc.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Joe Lino and Jenna Yokoyama. The producer is Sam Bowman, but special thanks to everyone who has called to become a member of the Mighty 90.7. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Positively Revolting. Annie and Lynn take your calls on the ecofeminist topics of the day. At 9, it's Waterworld, a discussion of water politics near and far. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, your daily news magazine with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, a Radio Geekly takes on gatekeeping. We'll hear from Feminist Frequency and their efforts to overcome the oppression of women. women in geek culture. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one easily by simply going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
And you still have a chance to show your support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us once again are Theo and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you. Yes, this is the KBOO quick, truncated 72-hour holiday fundraiser. And we have another 5 minutes for matching funds. That is, if you call up for every dollar you donate, we get three. So triple the impact of your gift. Call 877-500-5266. You're listening to the KBOO locally produced independent news. I'm guessing you do that quite often, if not daily. There's a reason why you listen to the KBOO news. We're a community project. We do it. We're independent. We're not corporate sponsored. We can do stories, we can tell the sides that you don't hear on the other media. You value the KBOO Evening News as an alternative to the mainstream 24-hour news cycle. That's the same story over and over. It's the story they want you to think about. The corporate sponsors want you to think about. Basically, it's to sell products. They're giving you the news stuff that's going to make you feel good and then buy the products on the commercial. We don't have commercials here. This is our commercial, the fundraisers. 877-500-5266. Help us break that news cycle of corporate-sponsored news that's 24 hours. Help us break that cycle. 877-500-5266. Call us before 6 o'clock so we can get that triple matching funds. KBOO.FM. Theo?
That's right, Seth, and we have a goal of $600 in this hour, and we're close to our fundraising 3-day goal, and we need you to help us put us over the top. You are an important part of this effort. Call us now with your pledge to KBOO to show us that you love the fact that volunteers come down here and turn into citizen journalists every week and take a stand for truth, take a stand for freedom of information, take a stand for the facts. You are part of this powerful movement of participatory independent media. So call 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Let's hear those phones ring again, or go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Or did you know you can download the mobile app on your smartphone for free, and every time you turn on a program, there'll be a quick little ask for a donation. You can come down to the studio at 20 East Southeast 8th at Burnside as well. There are many ways to give. 877-500-5266. Let's reach our program goal and tell everybody down here by your donation that you love the KBOO Evening News. There go the phones, kboo.fm, and donate button.
For $60, for $20 a month, you can get a Flower Tower t-shirt with the KBOO logo. Double that, $120 a year, $10 a month. Get the Higher Being Alien t-shirt, which is actually one of my favorites. And help KBOO. We're helping you. We're all in this together. This is community radio. It's like a community garden. Everyone grows what they want to grow, and then it comes together, and it's one big salad by the end. That's what we're doing here. We're creating a radio community salad. Everyone brings to the table what they have, what they grow. And no other radio station, the commercial stuff, they don't do that. You listen to music on a regular radio station, they're playing the same 24 songs over and over again, no matter what station you're listening to. The ones that are making money for the corporations. As a music DJ here on KBOO, I get to play what I want to play depending on the show. I can pick and choose and do all kinds of cool things and give cool information. The news, the programs here, all independently produced by volunteers. We love doing what we do, and we love the response that we get from the community. Give us a call and join. If you're already a member, you can double right now. You can triple. Just add $10 a month to what you're already giving. That'll be $30 a month. 877-500-5266, kboo.fm.
That's right, Seth. And for that t-shirt that Seth was talking about that's been very popular tonight and all during the week, is at the $120 donation level for the year, or $10 a month through your electronic deduction. That's so call to get that Higher Being t-shirt by Anna Vo. Call 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. We're coming up soon on Rose City Native Radio. So thank you to Dave from Kaiser, new member, Claire from Beaverton, renewing, Julia from North Portland, Mary from Southeast Portland, Lucy from Estacada, and Red from Southeast Portland. 877-500-5266. And now, or kboo.fm. And now we're going to Rose City Native Radio on KBOO.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is currently hiring for the following three positions: station manager, evening news and public affairs director, and director of underwriting. To apply to one of these positions, send a cover letter and resume to hiring@kboo.org, or bring or mail your resume with cover letter to 20 Southeast 8th, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please answer the following question: why is KBOO important? Open until filled. Interviews will begin around December 9th. No phone calls, please. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. For more information, go to kboo.org.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Radical Chorus Workshop and Skillshare on December 11th at 3 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. Led by Mo Baustern, founding member of the Amalgamated Everlasting Union Chorus Local 824, the Radical Chorus Workshop and Skillshare will define what a radical chorus is, discuss affinity groups, protests, and the effectiveness of fabulous outfits, and teach protest songs by Chumbawamba, The Frogs, Loretta Lynn, and more. Again, that's the Radical Chorus Workshop and Skillshare on December